Thank you, Brother Dan. Oh, it's good to be neighbors, but actually, you're all my neighbors and my friends. I come to you this morning in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name I greet each of you. I pray, dear God, that God will be with us today in our responsibilities and our efforts to serve him. You know, someplace in his Bible I stored my notes, and I got to find them. That looks like that. My thoughts today, this morning, are, as I've been considering it throughout the days ahead, is on the gospel of Jesus Christ, the power of God unto salvation. In Romans, second chapter of Romans. And in the 15th verse. I think I made a mistake there. My notes aren't very good, and my eyes are even worse. But I think it's the 12th chapter of Romans. The second chapter didn't do much good. Starting with the 13th verse. Starting with the 13th verse says, distributing to this necessary the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them that persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them also, and rejoice and weep with them that weep. But the same mind toward another, mind high places, but consider to men the low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit. Remember, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it was possible, as much as lies within you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give peace unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Wherefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing you may heap coals of fire upon his head. Be not overcome evil with come of evil, but overcome evil with good. In my notes, it says here that the gospel of Christ is a power of God unto salvation. And so it is. We hear all kinds of messages today about our welfare before God. There is a big contention or difference between us here in the Church of Christ and many of the other religions. I had several little conversations down in the Visitor Center over my time that we're not saved by works, but we're saved by grace. And it's true. Saved were by the grace of God and his sacrifice that he made for us, there would be no eternal life. Period. He was a resurrection and eternal life. But he gave us the plan. He gave us a way. He gave us the words. In Matthew 5, we find pretty much the gospel of Jesus Christ in the 5th, 6th, and 7th chapter of Matthew. Let me start with Matthew 7. Matthew 7 and 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many shall say unto me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man that built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was built upon the rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them shall not be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and the great was the fall of it. Christ in John, the 5th, 6th, and 7th chapters, pretty much gave us that gospel. But I would like to read it to you from the Book of Mormon this morning in the 5th chapter of 3rd Nephi. Because it puts it all pretty close together, and I don't have to read all three chapters. 3rd Nephi, starting with verse 32, I think it is. Better get the 5th chapter for a start, 32. Behold, verily, verily, I say unto you, I will declare unto you my doctrine. And this is my doctrine. It is a doctrine which the Father hath given unto me. And I bear record of the Father, and the Father bear record of me, and the Holy Ghost beareth record of the Father and me. And I bear record that the Father commanded me that everywhere I reckon, commandeth to all men everywhere to repent and believe in me. Also believeth in me and be baptized, the same that shall be saved, and they that who shall inherit the kingdom of God. And whosoever believeth not in me and is not baptized shall be damned. Verily, verily, I say unto you, this is my doctrine, and I bear record of it from the Father, who believeth in me, believeth also in the Father also. And to him will the Father bear record of me, for he will visit him with fire and with the Holy Ghost. And thus will the Father bear record of me, and the Holy Ghost will bear record of him, unto him of the Father and me, for the Father and I and the Holy Ghost are one. Let's see now, I want to drop on down to 32, 39, up on down to 49. Yea, blessed are they also that believe in your words. And he's talking to his 12 apostles, or disciples he chose here. Yea, blessed are they who shall believe in your words and come unto down into depths of humility and be baptized, for they shall be visited with fire and the Holy Ghost and shall receive a remission of their sins. Blessed are the poor in spirit who cometh unto me, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Poor here is not telling us deprived of the Spirit, but it's the act of being unproud, unselfish, humble. He said in the beginning, when he came to these people, he said, I want no more of your sacrifices and your burnt offerings. What I want from you is a broken heart and a contrite spirit. A humble heart, not proud, not selfish, easy to be entreated, and a contrite spirit, a spirit that seeks God with all his heart. And again, blessed are they who will mourn, for they shall be comforted. He has promised us comfort in the time of mourning, which we all have to pass through many times in our lives. And blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Not the forward, not the proud, but the meek shall inherit the earth. And blessed are they who shall hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And blessed are all the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And blessed are all the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. In this day in which we live, it seems that we are all more prone to stir up anger and animosity and confusion and contention. But here he says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall see God. Blessed are all they who are persecuted for my name's sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So when we're persecuted from time to time or find fault with, take it with patience. Do not be despaired, but be sure of your life. Blessed are they, or are ye, when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. And a good thing to remember in that little verse was that it says falsely. When we are ridiculed or counseled of the mistake we may have made, we need to take it and to work with it and to overcome it. For ye shall have great joy and be exceeding glad, for great shall be your reward in heaven, for so persecuted there the prophets who were before you. And we do not have to go too far into the history of the recorded in the Bible about those who came before us, how they were persecuted and put to death. No, we don't have that problem today, probably. But we do have, I know most of you, as I have been, somewhat criticized because of I refused to participate in some of the things that was going on. In the 66th verse, it says, verily, verily, I say unto you that I give unto you to be the salt of the earth. But But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith will the salt be, earth be salted? The salt shall be henceforth good for nothing, but be cast out and trodden underfoot. He's not talking about the salt that we put on our eggs in the morning or our food, but he's talking about the influence that we make upon the earth, upon our fellow man. Whether it's accepted or not, it's our influence that we're supposed to be there to, because he told us that we were to be the salt of the earth. To show them the way, not to follow, but to show the way. Verily, verily, I say unto you, I give unto you be the light of this people. A city that is hid on a hill, that cannot be hid. Behold, do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all in the house. Therefore, let your light so shine before this people that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And there is where we kind of might fall a little bit short sometimes. We want to be recognized for what we do, but we want to do our good and to praise God and to point them towards our God who gave us life and who sustained us from day to day. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy it, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, not one jot nor one tittle hath not passed away from the law, but in me has all been fulfilled. And again, here he's telling us that even as the Jews, that was their big stumbling block, because Moses had given them the law of Moses of types and shadows and sacrifices and things like this. And he tells us many times throughout all of Christ does about his teachings that he came to fulfill those things and to show us the way that they was all supposed to point us to. Behold, I have given to you the law and the commandments of my Father, that ye shall believe in me, that ye shall repent of your sins and come unto me with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. And I've already described that to you. Behold, you have the commandments before you. The law is fulfilled. Therefore, come unto me and be saved. For verily I say unto you that except you shall keep my commandments, which I have commanded you at this time, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. You know, when he came to this people, they had just passed through the destruction of the land. I think most of us are aware of what happened upon this land at the time Christ was crucified, that there was a great storm, and it destroyed all the unrighteous. It made high places low and low places high. He burned up cities. He put some of them in the depths of the sea. He destroyed everything that was offensive unto him. And so it was that they was a humble people. And they were told that the time would come when Christ would come to them. And this is one of the first things he did was give him what the Bible calls the Sermon on the Mount. Ye have heard that it had been said by them of old time, it is also written before you that you shall not kill, and whoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment of God. But I say unto you that whosoever shall be angry with his brother and shall be in danger of the judgment. And in the Bible, in that verse, it says, without a cause. It didn't say that here. It said, if you be angry with your brother, therefore, if you shall come unto me and shall desire to come unto me and remember that thy brother hath aught against thee, go thy way unto thy brother and first be reconciled to thy brother, and then come unto me with full purpose of heart, and I will receive you. Agree with thine adversary quickly while you are in the way with him, lest at any time he shall get thee, and thou shalt be cast into prison. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, thou shalt in no means come out thence until thou hast paid the utmost farthing. I'm a senine here. I think the Bible says farthing. Here it says senine. And while you're in prison, can you pay even one senine? Verily, verily, I say unto you, nay. For it is written by them of old time that thou shalt not commit. Behold, it is written by them of old time that thou shalt not commit adultery. I say unto you that whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery already in his heart. As it is written, as a man thinketh, so is he. Behold, I give unto you a commandment that you suffer none of these things to enter into your heart. For it is better that you should deny yourself of these things, when you shall take up your cross, that you be cast into hell. I don't see how far was I supposed to read here, to 115. It has been written that whosoever shall put away his wife and let him give her a writing of divorcement. Verily, verily, I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. And whoever shall marry her who is divorced committeth adultery. And these things are prominent. Everywhere we look today, we find these things in our midst. Again, it is written, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but thou shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. For verily I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, not by the earth, because it is his footstool, neither shalt swear by thine head, because thou canst make one hair white, black or white. And of course, though we really can't make a difference, we do. We find our many of us that we color our hair whatever color we want, from red to white. But verily, verily, I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it's God's throne, nor the earth, because it's his footstool. Let your communications be yea, yea, and nay, nay. For whatsoever cometh of thee, more than these are evil. Behold, it is written, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye shall not resist evil, but whoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn him to the other also. If any man shall sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile with him, go with him twain. And that was a policy in the old time, that you could compel somebody to go with you to help carry your luggage or whatever. But said if they compel you to go with them, do it. But go the whole way, go twice. And behold, it is also written that thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. Behold, I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them who despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father who is in heaven. For he that maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good. Therefore, those things which are of old time, which were under the law, in me are all fulfilled." And there he's talking about the law of Moses. That Moses was, that he fulfilled that law of Moses. "All things are done away, and all things are become new. Therefore, I would that you should be perfect, even as I and your Father who is in heaven is perfect. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, I say that I would that ye should do alms unto the poor, but take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise you have no reward, your Father. No reward of your Father who is in heaven. Therefore, when you shall do your alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, and as well hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be have the glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father who seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly." No, we don't need to be recognized and honored and glorified for any good thing that we might do, because God will do that. He'll reward thee openly. "When thou prayest, thou shalt not do as the hypocrites do, for they love to pray standing in their synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father who is in secret, and thy Father who seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And you pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking." No, we don't need long prayers, but we need to pour out our heart to bear unto him the burden that weighs heavy upon us, and to wait for his answer. "But when you pray, use not vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. And after this manner shall ye pray." And you remember the Lord's Prayer in the Bible, it's very simple and very short. And even this one here is just a little bit different than what we find in the Bible, for the reason that the kingdom of heaven has already come. Forgive us our debts. Let's see. Better start with the 102nd verse. "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory of ever forever. Amen." Rather short, but it covers our needs. And no, I don't think that God expects us to repeat that prayer. But rather that it was an example and a pattern for which we should follow. Ask God for what we need and to praise him for his answer. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you give not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. No, we're to suffer persecution and not complain. Moreover, when you fast, Be not as the hypocrites, for a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may be appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. No, when we do our alms or anything we do for God, we should not expect to be praised for it. We do it for our love for God and for mankind, and He will bless us for our efforts. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face, that thou appearest not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father who is in secret, and thy Father who is in secret shall reward thee openly. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust nor corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And that is quite true. If we have great possessions and we take pride in them, that's where our heart is. But God has given us each the necessities of life, and He has sustained us from day to day. What more can we ask? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thy eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If wherefore the light that is in thee is dark be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can turn two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And mammon is the things of the world. You know, as we read through the scriptures, the gospel, as we read through there, it gives us almost every aspect of our life. But also it even gives us a dress code. In the book of Alma, this first chapter, well, 41st chapter, I still think it's the first chapter in the 41st verse. Yeah, it's Alma, the first chapter and the 41st verse. My notes are not too good sometimes. So they did not wear costly apparel, yet they were neat and comely. And they established the affairs of the church, and this they began to have continual peace again throughout all their persecutions. And as we read through the scriptures, especially in the Book of Mormon, it tells you there are good times and there are bad times, but quite often when the good times became prevalent among them, they began to wear costly apparel, and that was on the downhill slope from then on. Though I'm always, when I speak on this matter, I'm reminded of a little story that Brother Dan My memory slipped me here. But our brother who went to the Philippines, and there he and Brother McGee was serving those people and had been serving for quite a while. And they came together with the people there one morning. And Sister Lolita looked at our brother and said, "Sir, you're not a dress code." "Well," said, "what's wrong?" Said we were dressed in our khakis like everybody else. And she said, "No, sir, that's not your best." And so we are expected to be our best, but not proud in it. And so as we dress, we need to dress because we're going to go to be with the Lord for a little while, and to be the best we can, not only in our dress, but in our attitude and our heart, to be right before God. Also, we're getting a dress code in the Bible. It's Ephesians. Ephesians, the sixth chapter, and the 13th verse. This is Paul's writings. "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about by truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherein you are able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the word of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all power and supplication in the Spirit and the and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that others may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." No, the gospel of Jesus Christ is given to us to, shall we say, where? To keep us in the right way and to help us to resist the evil that's about us. For where our heart is, or where our thoughts are, there was our heart be also. So this morning, as I leave these messages with you, I pray that God will bless each of us, not only with a faith and with an understanding of the things that God has given to us, for we know that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, and there's no other way. Even is it written, some of those who think they are doing right, he will say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." So we want to make sure that we're walking in God's path, that our heart is on him and on his word. That we take the time to spend in prayer. That we take the time to ask and the time to wait for his answer. That he will give us the things that we need, because he knows what we need. And it's not always what we think we need. So I give these messages with you this morning. Though I have not fulfilled all my time, I think it's enough. God be with you and bless you and strengthen you against the fiery darts of the adversary. But in all things, put on the righteousness the armor of God. I thank you.